The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Morning Drive. Bob Heck here with you, and we're off to a much better start than yesterday because the guest actually showed up, which makes things a little easier during a talk show. So we'll get to our guest coming up in just a couple of minutes, but first let's take a look at the weather here on this Wednesday morning.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny with a slight chance of rain this morning, then mostly cloudy with a chance of rain this afternoon. Highs in the mid-40s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Tonight, rain. Snow after midnight. Little or no snow accumulation. Cold with lows in the mid-20s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming west after midnight. Chance of precipitation 90%. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of snow. Colder with highs around 30. Temperature falling into the lower 20s in the afternoon. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
33 right now in downtown Pittsfield. And thank you for tuning in to Morning Drive this morning. It's a... You know, it's going to be up in the 40s today, and then we're going to have to talk about snow again. I'm so sick of winter. It's just like every year, my tolerance for it is worse and worse. Every year, my tolerance for it is worse and worse. Every year, about shoveling or something, and well, I got older kids now, so they do the shoveling, but I digress. But every year, you know, when the air punches you in the face when you walk out in the morning, I'm like, Florida doesn't seem so bad. We are here on a Wednesday morning, and my guest this morning is Jamie Cody from the No Matter What Sober House. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Bob, for having me.
Well, let's just start in general. What is No Matter What Sober House?
No Matter What Sober House is a non-clinical recovery home based in the Berkshires in Pittsfield, Mass., that we take individuals either from programs like a CSS, a TSS, some sort of mental health facility, or even from home or the homeless, and we support them in their journey of recovery. And when I say non-clinical, that means that it's independent, very, very independent recovery, but with my support. I am the operator of the home, so I kind of... dive in when it comes down to community resources and community building and what that looks like as far as the recovery is concerned. So that's really it. They are, you know, within curfews and things of that nature, but it's a safe place for, you know, somebody to continue with their recovery with support rather than being in an actual facility. It is a home.
So do they come, does the facility say, we think this person would be a good fit, or do individuals reach out to you to kind of see what's going on?
They would reach out to myself or our intake team. We would do a full screen. The screen takes about 15 to 20 minutes, give or take conversation. And we just kind of see where they're at, see if they would be appropriate. You know, some individuals do need a higher care, a higher level of care. And that's okay. You know, we don't try to turn people away, but we will say if the individual is in that state at the moment, you know, why don't you go do X, Y, and Z, and then we'll revisit it. Like I said, it is very independent, and this is why we have to screen very carefully, because we definitely don't want to set anybody up for failure. Mm-hmm. Not everyone, especially in the recovery aspect of it, is ready to be independent, and you know, and it's not a capability, it's just a need. So that's kind of like where we would help them. I essentially would help them in getting that higher level of care, and then essentially they would come back to No Matter What and, you know, be with us. And, you know, we have IOP programs for them to engage with during the week if they're not working. You know, so there's different layers of it. And, you know, like I said, I always meet them where they're at. So
When you say IOP, what do you mean?
An IOP program is through the ALC program here in Pittsfield on First Street. And they are a men's, we'll say, clinical halfway house, independent living as well. But they have a program during the day for those that need, you know, extra support. They have clinical staff, they have therapy, they have counseling, and they also do NA and AA meetings as well. So they are able to kind of engage in the community in that way and then, you know, leave, go to work, do what they have to do. And, you know, it's just an extra resource in the community for them to feel supported. So.
And you mentioned NA and AA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hear the word sober. And obviously I am completely outside of what you do.
Yes.
Which is why I want to learn more about it. I just think alcohol, but that's not the case at all.
No. There is so many layers of the addiction. There, you know, between opiates, cocaine, there's so much fentanyl. And and I don't even want to use the word clean drugs, but those individuals that are in active use, I see it every day. They think that they're getting a bag of whatever. And it has fentanyl in it, and they're overdosing or they're passing away, which is, it's terribly sad. There is so many drugs and substances out there that hurt our community. And, you know, it is, I am a true believer it is a disease. There is choices to it when you do have support. And that's kind of like why we, myself, I can speak for, is really passionate about making sure that everybody is educated, because that's where it has to start off with. And that doesn't mean a textbook. That means, you know, being involved in your community, being involved in these resources that do help individuals, listening to people. I could tell you I have learned so much in the past 4.5 years than I have learned in other degrees of, you know, the workforce. I'm very passionate about it, and I do think that there's still so much that we need to learn. Every day is a learning experience. No case is the same. So it's very scary, but it's also very rewarding when I see, I actually have an individual that is in the house. She's been with us for a little over 2 years, and I literally cry, you know, just talking to her, because she is just an inspiration. She helps out with the house. She really dives in deep with our newcomers, our new guests. And, you know, she gets real with them, and it works. It does. And to hearing it from the horse's mouth, per se, those that have been through it and are still dealing with it. You know, recovery is an everyday thing. You don't heal. You recover, but you don't heal fully. It will always be a part of your everyday. You know, so I think it's an amazing thing to be involved in. And it's also a real, real thing that we are dealing with in Berkshire County. I can't, you know, I know it's everywhere, but in Berkshire County, it is very, very high up there with the addiction. And, you know, I really, I tell people, please use your resources, Berkshire Harm Reduction, CSS, McGee's, you know, Greylock Recovery. Please utilize your resources, because that's where you need to be. So.
And how did you get, you say you're passionate about this, and how did you get into this? How did you become so passionate about it?
My mother was actually, she struggled many years with drugs and alcohol. And I say, you know, you don't need a textbook in order to understand how it works. I think you need to experience it, whether you are going through it or a family member that you are so close with. And I watched her suffer for years. And when the opportunity came about for me to work at the hospital for our clinical stabilization unit, I jumped on it. And I really got a lot of education, a lot of, you know, we'll say realness there. And just knowing that this is very, very important. And this is something that I ultimately wanted to make a difference. And, you know, I stayed there for 3 years, and I saw an opportunity to run the No Matter What Sober House. And I jumped on it immediately. I went right to my boss and I said, hey, I might leave, but this is what I'm going to do. And he gave me his blessing. He said, I just think that's amazing. Like, you know, this is a passion of mine. I do eventually want to open up my own under my name. But I wanted to open it for families with children. I feel like the children are lost in the system because of parents being in recovery or struggling. And that is something, this is just like a stepping stool for me to get into that. But I love it. I love it. And this is my way of giving back to the community. My mother ultimately did pass away, sadly, but, you know, I hope she's proud and she's watching and, you know, I'm trying to make a difference. So, yeah.
Now, obviously, mental health has been in the news lately, especially locally. I assume you work with mental health services. I mean, how is that experience? Obviously, we hear there's a shortage of everything.
There is.
Very difficult to get into.
Yes. Very, very limited resources. And it's, you know, it's no one's fault, really. We are in a very small community. And I just feel like the community needs to step it up a little bit. Along with these resources, and I'm not, you know, putting blame on anybody or saying anybody is horrible. I just really need people to take their job seriously, honestly. You know, not everybody is trained for this. Not everybody is equipped to deal with certain situations. And when you find yourself in a situation to where you don't feel as though you can handle, please, please, please reach out to somebody that you think can. For myself, I deal with closely with the Department of Mental Health. Again, for those individuals that may come to me and I believe that they need a higher level of care, I will reach out. I will never ask anybody to leave and be homeless on the streets. That's something I do not believe in. Am I mandated to give them a higher level of care? No, but my heart mandates that because then I'm just part of the problem, right? So for my own personal experiences and what I've done is if an individual comes to me and I'm starting to see that he or she, you know, might need and benefit from a higher level of care because we are very independent, I will reach out to the Department of Mental Health or the Breen Center or some agencies that could help, you know, navigate and where they could go next. So that way they're not back out in the streets and they're not using again. And ultimately, we're trying to save their life. So
this is more of a peer support house as well, right?
Yes.
You have folks that are in there at various stages of recovery. And you mentioned the woman earlier who's, you know, been a rock star and helped a lot of people.
She's actually the house mentor. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, how does that work better than or worse than perhaps, you know, other services?
I don't know if it works better. I just think it's a different layer.
Okay.
Because most folks do come from a higher level of care, whether it be a CSS, a TSS, a section, whatever it is. So they've already done the clinical aspect.
Can I stop you there for a second? You say CSS, TSS. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So CSS is a clinical stabilization.
Okay.
A TSS is a step further from that. It's kind of sort of the same thing. It's just a little higher. And it just depends on where you are in the community. I know Greylock Recovery has both.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Pittsfield, we only have the detox and the CSS, which is the clinical stabilization. The TSS is just kind of, you can stay there longer. It's like a 30-day plus. And then you would ultimately go to either a halfway house or an independent living or a sober living.
Okay.
CSSs are usually a 14-day kind of like reestablishing yourself and kind of resting, if that makes sense, after a detox. So this is just the part of the steps in the layer. We do tend to take those individuals that are 14 days or more sober or clean just because it's safer. The first 2 weeks are very crucial to those. There's precipitated withdrawals. There's seizures. There's a lot of things that can happen. And because, like I said, it is so independent, I don't sleep there, of course. So, you know, we just want to make sure everybody is safe. So that's why we kind of had that set in place.
And recently, it was before just for women.
Yes.
And now you're allowing men in there as well?
Yes. I did just do a split house. A split house meaning because it's, you know, I'm sure everybody knows it is on a notice street. It is a duplex. Originally, we had 8 women upstairs who was the entry level, and we had 8 women downstairs who was like in the graduation level, like mm-hmm. if you've been there for 60 days or more. You know, my colleague and I had a conversation, and I said, you know, yes, there is more resources for men. It's not a secret, but let's step it up a little bit. Let's see, you know, about doing a split. And it's worked out great. I have 5 individuals on the men's side, which, and I want to make sure that everybody does know it is a split. They do not combined at all. They are in mm-hmm. separate living quarters. Sometimes they get together to go to meetings on the outside. That's just because, you know, it's your community, right? But it is. It's working out great. I have 5 men on one side and I have 5 women on the other. I do have beds available. There's 3 on each side that are available right now. But yeah, it's working out. It's working out really well. ALC has been great with helping us fill beds as well and getting the word out there because everybody just thought it was a women's house. So, yeah.
Now, the house specializes in early recovery. Can you tell us a little more about what that means?
We specialize in early recovery based on, because we do take individuals that are sometimes 3 weeks sober or clean. And what that really means is making sure that we're setting them up for success. And when I say setting them up for success is making sure that they're going to meetings, making sure that they're reaching out to somebody to help sponsor them. So those are the early stages of their recovery, sponsorship, communityship, knowing your resources, getting out in the community is super, super important. I can't tell you how many times I've sat with an individual and they're like, do I really have to be on the community? And I'm like, trust me, I promise you, once you do it, you are going to feel so much better. And I've had great success with that. Just kind of giving them that extra support is really all they need. And then they're off and running. They're great. They're great. So early recovery, I take people that have been in recovery for years. We just meet them where they're at. So
we're here with Jamie Cody from No Matter What Sober House, located at 278 Anoda Street in Pittsfield. Because you say you want to get to your a place where you're doing your own thing mm-hmm. with families and stuff. Mm-hmm. And how does the structure of the management of No Matter What Sober House work?
That's a good question. So there is structure, definitely, but it is also very independent. The structure is, you know, we have mandatory weekly meetings between myself and the house guests. You know, we do weekly sheets. We make sure that everybody is, you know, out in the community. We make sure that they're job searching. I also help them with job search. Setting them up with the justice support is huge. 9 times out of 10, in some way, shape, or form, they've been either incarcerated or in the Justice Department. So it's just really keeping the structure, keeping a consistent schedule. As far as what they do on their own personal time, they are still allowed to see family and things like that. We don't do like overnights. We don't have folks coming in our home because mm-hmm. we really feel as though it's is their privacy. But we do encourage them, you know, if they want to see family, you know, within different reasons, of course, you know, to do that, to keep their close knits close. So again, yes, they have curfew. They have to attend meetings. There are certain stipulations that they have in order to stay in the home. You just can't come and sleep and then think that, you know, you can just stay. It doesn't work like that. You definitely have to make sure that you're working in your recovery and that you're doing what is asked of you, which, in my opinion, it's a lot, but it's very little. You know, you're keeping yourself going, right? So this is your life. This is your recovery. So it is based on what you put into it. And I'm just there for the extra support. So
now you mentioned they're allowed to go see family and friends and things along those lines.
Yeah.
I mean, is it being patrolled? Is it being watched? Because, you know, they say when you get into recovery and you get into sobriety, the first thing you should do is cut off the people that sort of got you into this to begin with. How is that sort of monitored?
That is monitored based on me having conversation. I really feel like conversation is key. So when we do an essential like move-in, I take about an hour to 2 hours to completely go over things, to completely make sure that they are in a place of positivity. I do ask them, listen, you know, just be honest. You know, will you be seeing people that are in active use? And of course, not everybody's going to be honest, but I do have them signing in and signing out. We do have the curfew. I do have them checking in with me. And we do random drug screens as well. And that's nothing personal. And in sober living, it's just what it is. You know, they'll never know when I'm drug screening them. And it isn't personal. It's to keep them safe and keep everybody else safe. So unfortunately, I can't control everything that they do on the outside. But if they do, you know, seem like they've been doing something that is not appropriate for the sober living home, they will be asked to leave. Does it happen? Sure. Do we like to see it? Absolutely not. I can tell you I've asked people to leave for 30 days, you know, go get your stuff together and then come back. And, you know, again, it's just meeting them where they're at. We try to save everybody, but we can't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not. It's not possible. So.
And when you ask them to leave for 30 days, are you, is there a referral to somewhere else?
Yep.
Or
I'm not mandated to send them anywhere. I just try to help because, again, bringing, you know, somebody into the house and then saying you have to leave, even though, yes, it was through your own choice. I do try to help, you know, again, calling the resources, calling, you know, the Breen Center, calling even shelters, you know. Some people don't want recovery when they think that they do, and that's okay. So I would just let them know, hey, you know where we are. You have my number. You know, just keep in touch and just keep yourself safe. And that's the best I can do, you know. You can't force them to do something that they're just not ready for. And 9 times out of 10, though, Bob, it is because they're either scared or they're just to the place we're just not ready. So
right. And, you know, a lot of stuff with addiction. I mean, even me, I smoke cigarettes and they always say
it's an addiction.
It is absolutely an addiction.
Yes.
And, you know, the doctor always says, are you ready? And I'm like, you know,
maybe next year.
Yeah. That cigarette with the coffee is just like, and they always say, well, we're not going to try anything because there's no point because you really have to want to quit.
You have to
be able to quit.
Mm-hmm. And for it to be successful.
Yeah.
You know, you just, you can't do it half. You know what? You have to fully be in it. And again, it's not going to always be roses and rainbows. You're going to have days where you're like, I can't do this. I can't tell you how many times I get a phone call throughout the day. I will stay on the phone with my guest for 2-3 hours if I'm away, you know, in a conference meeting or out of town, or I will go right to the house and I will sit with you, you know, I meet you where you're at. And if that means sitting with you for 2 hours and allowing you to scream, cry, you know, just sit in peace, that's what we're going to do. If that's what's going to keep you into this house and safe, I will do whatever I can. So.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not easy at all.
It's not.
It's
not. I mean, can you imagine? Again, this comes from 9 times out of 10 mental health. Some sort of childhood trauma, something. Nobody wakes up one day and says, I think I'm going to be an addict.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work like that. And I think because it doesn't work like that, we have to figure out the root of the issue. Where did it start from? And sometimes that takes years of therapy, years of coping, finding different ways to cope. Sometimes it takes digging deep places where it's uncomfortable. But that's where the work starts, and then that's when the healing can start. So
we're here with Jamie Cody from No Matter What Sober House. We're going to take a short time out. It's Morning Drive here on WTBR, and we will be right back in just a little bit.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Still paying for that monthly gym membership? How about that streaming service you never watch? Why not support WTBR-FM instead? For just $8.97 a month, you could show your support for our community radio station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click donate. It's as easy as that. We need to support this station to keep it on the air, and every little bit helps. WTBR-FM, for the love of radio.
Where does democracy actually begin? Well, it begins right here at home, at our local city and school meetings, the place where really big decisions are made that affect you and your family directly. With good TV coverage, these decisions are transparent. Our residents are well-informed, and elected officials are held accountable. Without reliable coverage, these decisions go under the radar. Support PCTV's local meeting coverage today. Pittsfield Community Television, democracy starts here.
People tune in to hear the latest local and national news.
That's not us.
People tune in to hear the latest music.
That's definitely not us.
People tune in to hear political pundits expound on politics.
No, that's not us.
How about people tune in to hear entertaining stories, jokes, odd topics, and laughter?
Oh, yeah, that's us. That's Stuff.
Tune in every Thursday morning at 8:30 to listen to the latest Stuff with Bev Prentice and Lynn Arsenault on 89.7 WTBR-FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, 7:58 here on, I'm going to get that right, you're supposed to talk after the horn goes. I'll finally figure that out at some point. 7:58 here on a Wednesday morning, we're going to take a look at the weather.
Berkshire weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny with a slight chance of rain this morning, then mostly cloudy with a chance of rain this afternoon. Highs in the mid-40s. Southwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Tonight, rain. Snow after midnight. Little or no snow accumulation. Cold with lows in the mid-20s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming west after midnight. Chance of precipitation 90%. Thursday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of snow. Colder with highs around 30. Temperature falling into the lower 20s in the afternoon. West wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
We're up to 33 degrees in downtown Pittsfield, and we're going to get up to 43 today, which is always exciting in January to get up to above 40 degrees. We are here with Jamie Cody from No Matter What Sober House. We've been talking about, of course, the Sober House and how everything works. But we haven't gotten into, you know, how do people, obviously you can't just show up and live there for free, right?
I wish.
Yeah, of course. So how does that aspect work? How do people pay for it?
Yes. So we are a working house. If you are not working at the time of your intake, we do ask, you know, source of income. Sometimes family members help. It is $180 per week. You have a full functioning home, though. You have TVs, full functioning kitchen, bathrooms. You are in a shared room, most likely with one other individual. Mm-hmm. But it is a beautiful home, very spacious. So we do ask, you know, in the beginning, some folks have Social Security. Some people just don't have the income, unfortunately. So those individuals, unfortunately, would not be accepted, which is really sad. But we have reached out to a few agencies, myself personally, and have gotten a couple individuals sponsored, whether that is like for a full month until they can find some, you know, a job. Because, again, it is a working house. Right. That is one of the requirements, at least a part time, if you are able. So we do ask, you know, if there's any other source of income, whether it comes from family, friends, sponsorship. Like I said, I've had a couple people that I think really, you know, would have benefited, and I've gotten them sponsorships, and they've ultimately, you know, have gotten jobs after that. So that would be one of the requirements of some sort of income, you know, especially, you know, that kind of goes hand in hand with just doing the whole recovery process, is getting yourself back out there. So but yes, unfortunately, it is not free. I would love it to be free. We're just not in that place yet. So it is $180 a week. There is a $200 intake fee that we do take. That is refundable, though. We do not keep that. If you are, you know, an individual that can give me 30 days prior to leaving, I do, you know, give it back. It's just more like a security thing. So that is refunded, but it is $180 weekly. And to be honest, you know, I've heard many individuals say, that's cheap. I'm like, well, yeah, I pay $1,500. Do you want to pay that?
I mean, for around here, it is on the cheaper side, you know, it's not bad.
It's not. And they just have to, you know, buy their own food and just pay their rent. We do the Wi-Fi. I do the house supplies, like, you know, the toiletries, the paper towels, the cleaning products, because that stuff gets expensive. So I do that for them just because I feel as though it's just the right thing to do. So, you know, in that aspect, I do wish that we had a little bit more resources as far as helping out with sponsorships and, you know, things of that nature for those individuals that don't have any income. But we'll get there at some point. It's a work in progress. I'm trying. So
now the house, again, no matter what sober house, it's on Anota Street in Pittsfield. Obviously there's a stigma, attached to people trying to become sober. Whenever places like this pop up, you get the NIMBY folks who get really upset about it. What sober house faced any of that?
Yes. Yes. It's tough. We've had, different agencies, you know, try to essentially shut us down.
Agencies. Okay.
Agencies. I can't speak too far into it,
but of course.
there has been, you know, like when you try to do the right thing for the community and try to, you know, certifications and things like that, you know, you're in a residential community. They want everything to be clinical. And again, these are closed-minded individuals that don't understand how it goes. So for me, we deal with it. I just put one foot in front of the other, and I just continue to fight for these individuals that need us and need that home. And I won't let it go down without a fight. And it's not in the process of it, but they've tried. They've tried. I just kind of, you know, we have protocols. We've, you know, had to go to court before. you know, and just try to stop certain things from happening. And it's mainly residential areas like a notice street. Not of saying course. That, you know, they have, but, you know, we've had issues. I actually run a sober home in Greenfield where they have tried it there as well because they see, you know, a big home. They see a bunch of men hanging outside and they're not there with their families. They're there with their fellow, you know, recoveries, and they don't like that, you know. So they try everything in the world to call fire departments on you. They'll call, you know, the state and say, hey, what's this? Is this a recovery home? We don't want it in our area. It's so petty. It's so petty.
It's incredibly frustrating because, you know, folks like that are on Facebook. We need to help these people. And then, you know, but not here. Not here. Not go over there and have all the help you want.
Yeah.
But not on
our
street.
Turf. Yep.
It's, you know, it's remarkably frustrating.
It is. That
people are like that.
It is. Even neighbors. I mean,
well, that's what
we get, you know, oh, they were smoking a cigarette too close to my yard. And then I'll look on the camera and they're not even on, you know, it's just little things like that. And again, no pun intended, but get real, you know, like these people are human. We all bleed the same color blood. They just need us. That's it. And honestly, they're the best people, honestly. I have had so many great relationships with these people that I support. I call them my family. So,
And me personally, you know, if I'm in the situation where I'm a neighbor or something, I'd personally much rather have a house like this where I know people are trying hard to battle their addictions and battle their demons and get through it.
Right.
Because, you know, two doors down in the just someone's house or apartment, you don't know what's going on in there. And, you know, it's probably worse than what's happening. Because at least, you know, at your house, people are trying
and they
want to get better. Yeah. And, you know, going outside and being a part of the community is a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in our, I can just speak for a notice street, our guys have even, you know, knocked on doors and asked, because there's a lot of elderly in the area, hey, do you need me to shovel? I don't want anything, but I, you know, this is a part of community building, you know? And, you know, some have accepted, of course, some have declined, but it's just like, these are the best people, honestly. They will give, because they know what it's like not to have. So they're the first ones to open up their hands and their hearts to the community. And they have. And just to kind of go back to what you were saying, has you would want that to be in your area. Go bother the people that are in homes abusing their children or using drugs with their children in their homes. And you know that they're doing it. You know what I mean? Leave our sober homes alone and put noise out on those that are doing bad and that do need some sort of nudge to get out of the way that they are in. You know, I find that we turn a blind eye to what we know is going on that is detrimental, but we want to bring up so much stigma and noise to the positivity. It's like it doesn't make sense, you know? So, yeah, it's frustrating.
Now, you said you had how many beds available?
We have 3 men beds available and 3 women's beds available right now.
Now, is that something that's usual? Because I constantly hear there's no beds for anything here in the Berkshires.
Yeah, it's funny. Some months I'll be full. Some months I, you know, and it's just the way that it goes. Either they get a higher level of care or they move on. Because this is the thing about it too, Bob, is I set them up for a foundation. Right. I want them to come in. I want them to work and I want them to leave with a foundation, whether that's a bank account, a car, apartment, their family back. So they'll move on to better things. Right. Individually and with their families and whatever. So there might be a month where I have only 1 bed available. There might be a month I have 5 beds available. It's so random and it goes up and down. I do try to do like more so word of mouth resources, like I'll call, you know, like Greylock and, you know, other resources, the Justice Department, letting them know, hey, if you have anybody, I have 2 beds available, you know, because how do they know unless we reach out, you know? So that's kind of like, it's like an outreach thing that I do a couple days out of the week, and I'll either be in the community or I'll make phone calls and say, I have such and such bed available. Honestly, 8 times out of 10, it's an income issue, to be honest with you, which is what we're working on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's if it was free, I think I would be full, honestly. But and I would love it. Again, I wish I was a millionaire, because I would just say, you know what? Come here. I want all of my children to come and I want to be able to help you.
Does insurance provide anything for this?
Unfortunately, no, because it's not clinical. It's mm-hmm. independent. Clinical, yes, they would. But insurance companies just kind of are like, no, we're not doing it. So that's where we need the community, you know. So if anybody ever is willing to donate, you know, let me know.
How do they get in touch with you if somebody wanted to donate?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind putting my work cell phone number out there. That's totally fine. I would prefer a conversation. I do have a link that I could send out individually. It's just not a public link right now. So if anybody does want to reach out, is it all right to give my phone number?
Like, I don't care.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to be like, okay. So the phone number to reach me is 413-370-2812. If anybody does want to donate, even, you know, a week, that's fine. Anything is helpful. Or if you know anybody that is in recovery and, you know, you want to have a conversation about what that looks like, and, you know, definitely reach out to me.
Now, you had mentioned earlier you have a house in Greenfield that people mm-hmm. were trying to shut down. How many houses are there within this program?
So I operate 3.5, and I say half because a Notice Street being a split. So I operate a Notice Street. I have a full men's house in Greenfield, which is on Conway Street in Greenfield. And I also have a new house in Pearl Street in Springfield, which is a women's house. It is very new. The women's house in Pearl Street is only September, I think we mm-hmm. opened that. And because it was so new, I only had one individual in there for about 2 months. But now we're almost full there. So, yes. And it's the same structure. I just travel. I'm always in my car. I think I'm a professional driver at this point. And I learned how to navigate different things. So, yeah. So I'm constantly on the road, you know, because, again, I'm there for their support. I just don't call you and say, hey, how are you doing? You know, I think it's important to see my face and to know I'm here. So I'll travel every day.
Now, I would imagine, you know, the people and the issues and the things along those lines are significantly different between, like, Springfield and Greenfield. You're probably seeing different types of people mm-hmm. who have different types of ways they got into mm-hmm. addiction to begin with.
Yes, yes, yes. Of course, Springfield and Pittsfield is night and day. I will tell you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
See, I wouldn't have figured that. I would have figured those would be very similar, and Greenfield would have been the different one.
Nope. Springfield and Pittsfield are night and day. These, of course, all these individuals are just so strong and very inspiring. But the girls, I can say in Springfield, the things that they are challenged continuously with, being in a bigger city, being, you know, and I just want to bring, like, yes, Berkshire County is small, but yet it's big enough to where we have different areas to kind of get away from it. Springfield, I've noticed in the area that I support, is very active with addiction, very, very much so. And so it's hard for these individuals. They have to travel a little further out for their recovery services, for meetings and things like that, because it is not so residential in Springfield, which is okay. I mean, the girls have navigated it, so I support them in that. But I was surprised myself when I opened that home, and I was like, they're like the closest meeting is 20 minutes away. Like, you know,
why
I thought
is that
it was
within the city.
I didn't think it was going to be like that, but they actually just opened up a new recovery facility up the road from Pearl Street. They just did that like 30 days ago, which I'm so happy for because, you know, it's not easy, especially in the winter if you're not driving, to get to certain places. And that's the requirement and that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were utilizing Zooms and things like that because, you know, we have to be realistic at the same time. You know, if I have, you know, a girl that works all day, but the best meeting that she can get to is at 8 o'clock at night, am I going to have her walk in the inner city at 8 o'clock at night? No.
Right.
We're not going to do that. We need to keep everybody safe. So, again, it's just trying to utilize where in the community things are. And, you know, the Springfield location, I'm getting people from Lowell, from different Worcester, from just different parts of the area.
Really?
So, yeah. Yep. It's not only the Springfield locals. It's from all over. Even in Pittsfield, I have somebody that is from the Boston area.
How are they finding you in those instances?
Word of mouth. Word of mouth.
Really?
Or like if they have a therapist or, you know, the hospital or section, wherever they've been throughout their journey, you know, they'll hear about us and, you know, they would essentially sit down with them and apply. We do get a lot of our referrals from places of those. So, again, it is just about just being proactive in the community and just making sure everybody knows that we're here. So
we're here with Jamie Cody from No Matter What Sober House. They're on Anoda Street in Pittsfield, and they have a couple of locations here in Western Massachusetts. And for folks just tuning in, why don't you highlight what No Matter What Sober House is?
No Matter What Sober House is an independent sober house for those that are in recovery 14 days or more. And we just kind of support and help them throughout their recovery journey, making community resources a priority and ultimately themselves a priority into keeping everybody safe and clean, sober, and, you know, getting to where they need to be in life. So.
Now, I'm still a little surprised when you say, like, the resources are even worse in Springfield. Is that what you're kind of saying?
No, I don't say worse. I just think that where we're located, it's a little further out. It was further out.
Okay.
I just think it's just like an inner city thing. If you go to New York City, there's nothing even out there. I think it is a city. You know, the bigger cities have more issues, you know, and it's not a stigma. It is actual factual facts. You know, recovery is not as easy in the bigger cities. You know, people have their way of life and people are raised a different way in different areas. And I just think it's just like where you are surrounding yourself. People, places and things make a huge difference. I was very surprised too that the recovery was a little bit smaller, but you know, what the recovery base that they do have out there is an amazing one. The girls, cause it is a woman's house, the one that I run in mm-hmm. Springfield, the girls do, you know, love it. And it is a great place. I don't remember what it's called. It is very, very new. But it seems to work for them, but yeah, I was a little shocked that it was so far away. You know, any sort of resource, but hopefully we'll get more going. Mm-hmm. Pittsfield, so, we're very close.
Yeah, so basically what you're saying in Springfield, and I don't know much about mm-hmm. Springfield other than the Mass Mutual Center where I go to hockey games.
Yeah.
But so Pearl Street's sort of on the, more on the outskirts, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, it's right off of, it's near the Chestnut Street area that's very centrally located. And I think I think it was just a little premature where we put that. We were thinking that there was a little bit more resource. And now they're building it. But at the time when we opened in September, it was a struggle. But we're getting there. We're getting them out to the community and getting them started. So.
So, I mean, you're running the three sober houses, but it's not your company. Talk about, you know, who sort of owns it and how this whole thing got started.
I have a contract through the Vanderburg Sober Living,
okay.
which is Vanderburg Foundation. They're basically just like the real estate part of it.
Gotcha.
We have independent contractors. We have chartered operators. I am a chartered operator, which basically it's just me. And that's why we kind of have the house mentors in every home when I feel is fit, just to kind of be that extra support and somebody that's been through it too. So that's really it. Vanderburg has a little, but not much to do with what, you know, is going on. It's really on my shoulders. So right.
They just sort of control the real estate and handle that.
It's their properties. So, yeah. Yep.
So when you go through Vanderburg to open the house in Springfield, is that sort of like a collaborative thing? Is there potentially more expansion coming throughout Massachusetts?
Oh, yeah. They even have sober homes in North Carolina. I think there's 50-something locations.
Oh, wow.
You know, and you can also lease the homes yourself where to, you know, not to put like the real estate thing out there, but you could lease a sober home and have it be yours completely. You pay the bills and you just kind of hand off what a portion is Vanderburg's and then you keep the other portion. But that comes with a lot of certifications and things of that nature, which it's very hard to get. Again, there is a stigma with sober living. So,
of course,
the certification is the biggest. It's definitely hard. So for right now, what I'm doing, it's working. I'm not going to do anything different if it doesn't, you know, unless something happens. So right now it's working for us. So
now
we'll stick with that.
Talk to me about working with local mental health resources, obviously. And we talked about this in the first half hour, but in case people are just tuning in, obviously mental health locally is in the news. How is working with mental health providers? Because, you know, it's a mental health issue.
It is.
Addiction to begin with.
Absolutely. And I think that's where we need to understand and educate ourselves. Like I said earlier, Bob, nobody wakes up in the morning and says that they're going to be an addict to themselves. It just doesn't happen. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of mental health that goes with it. And there's many layers of mental health, and there's many layers of addiction and many layers of recovery. As far as my experience with those in the community, as far as resources, you have to put yourself out there, even if it's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of just showed up at places. Shout out to Second Chances. I've just kind of shown up there and said, hey, I'm Jamie. I'm running the No Matter What Sober House. And they've been amazing. The Justice Department been amazing. I've shown up to probation. I've showed up to the Breen Center. I've just kind of put myself out there and just kind of gotten my resources in the palm of my hands. So I literally reach out to individuals instead of the agencies. It just works out better for me. So I gain my own relationships with these people. And so when I need them, I know exactly who to call and who I can trust for the situation. Do I think we have great resources? Yes. Do I think we're limited? Absolutely. Absolutely. I also feel like training is very scarce. Not everyone is trained for every situation, including myself. You know, this is not a personal attack. It's just reality. You know, even prior to me, you know, being in the whole recovery field, I thought I knew it all. I really honestly did. I thought, you know, oh, I could deal with this. Oh, I could deal with that. Every day is so different. And there's still challenges every day. And there's still things that I'm learning. So I think, again, just knowing your resources and educating yourself and just wanting more education, going back to school, sitting down with, you know, public resources and getting more education is key. So.
And, you know, you're 100% right. And we have people on social media talking like they're experts on subjects that they aren't. I forget what the name of the graph is called, but it's like this graph where it starts way up at the top. When you know nothing about a subject, you think your knowledge is up here. And as you learn more,
and
it goes
very
down
low.
Here.
Yes.
And then it starts creeping back up again. I mean, I remember when I went back to school, I took a master's level class in refugees and immigration and things like that. And I went in, I'm like, I know all about this. And then I did 13 weeks of this program, read several books, and I'm like, I know nothing, absolutely nothing about this. So, I mean, we see this in society where, you know, they watch a YouTube video and they think they have the knowledge. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up, you know, I thought I knew everything about this, but I know I got to learn more every day.
Every day. Every day is something new and something else that I'm learning. It is. It's, and I don't think there's ever going to be a time where we stop learning, including those that are going through it. You know what I mean? Between the mental health, the physical, the just everything about it, you know, there's just not only in recovery, but in mental health, there's so much that we don't know, you know, and so many people are losing their lives over silly nothing, you know, and I say nothing and I'm not meaning it that their voice and that what they're going through is nothing, but it's nothing to talk to somebody. It should not be, you know, this big thing. Just talk to people, reach out to people. When people are reaching out to, whether it's the police department or the brain center or wherever it is, please don't turn them away. Don't turn them away. The worst thing you can do to somebody that needs help is telling them to call back or to figure it out, because they're in a really bad state of mind at that point, and that's just not what they can do.
And particularly a lot of people, you know, we're still sort of in this stigma, you know, that goes back to, you know, Generation X, where it's like, no, you just walk it off. You just deal with it. You know, we're still in that portion of things. So if somebody, particularly from my generation, makes the phone call, they're in bad shape. And to be told, I have a waiting list of like a year. It's going to be a year before you get. But I'm calling you now because I need help now. And that's, you know, sort of the frustrating part of the way things are going. And even beyond Generation X to newer generations, there's still that stigma in certain communities where it's like, no, you're a wimp if you make that phone call. Which is terrible.
It is. It is. Somebody reaching out and saying that they need help, first of all, kudos to you.
Absolutely.
That takes so much bravery, courage, and, you know, and is it uncomfortable? Of course, but they know that they need help, you know. And I always say the loudest person in the room is the most silent, but at the same time, you have to really think about these individuals that are reaching out. They're reaching out for a reason, and we need to listen. We need to stop thinking it's, oh, we, like you said, just walk it off. You know, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And 9 times out of 10, that person won't be here in a year. You know, I can't tell you, I've worked with an individual at the brain center where, you know, during COVID, that was so scary. You know, people were really struggling with isolation, and we're told there's 6 months to a year wait. There was at least 15 individuals that did not make it that year.
Oh, I would imagine
it was 100%. Scary.
I mean,
very
that was
scary, scary, scary. And it's, you know, and like I said, nothing against any agency. I think we're all trying. I just wish that we just had more resources in this area and just more people, you know, more people to help. And it doesn't take you going to school. It really doesn't. Yes, is that great? Absolutely. I'm going back to school myself, but it just takes just being a human being. That's all it takes. So,
We're coming up towards the end. Is there anything we missed in the, we got about a minute and a half to go. Is there anything you want to get out there that we didn't really talk fully about or?
No, just like I said, definitely reach out to me if you were, or anybody you know is struggling. Even if they don't, you know, particularly want sober living right now, you could definitely reach out to me. I can help with some resources, just to kind of get some more help out there. So, yeah.
And is this a place where you just sort of show up and perhaps get into, or?
No, they would just call me. That's the 413-370-2812. Just give me a call and we'll go from there.
Excellent. Jamie Cody from No Matter What Sober House. I mean, even chatting with you today for an hour, I've learned so much, which tells me I know nothing, less than I thought. But thank you so much for joining us and being a part of the program.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening to Morning Drive this morning. Bob Heck signing off. Sean Sayre in the rest of the week. And we will talk to you all again real soon. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy the high of 43 degrees today.